All right, we'll start in Proverbs chapter 19. We are in verse 1. The sheets of paper in front of you, remember, Proverbs is a book of popcorn. So we read each verse, we talk about it, we try to figure out what it's actually talking about. And some of these verses this evening, we'll have to look at many different translations to kind of get a grasp of what they mean, because each, as I was doing the research and reading and preparing for this evening, some of these verses in the NIV read very good, but we miss some of them, and sometimes we need to look at the King James or even the Common English or the Christian Standard or even the Amplified. Each one of these translations will help us in some of these verses that are just difficult to understand. And once we talk about them, again, we will take that verse and we will assign that verse to any one of these series of categories. I would say that you may add two categories in a couple of the blanks. I would add forgiveness and selfish. Those two categories could be added as we go through this evening's lesson. I think those are also the two that we had carry over from last week that we added to the list. So again, this list of categories is not a absolute list. It's certainly going to change over time. So with that said, Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 1. Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. What are we talking about here?
Blameless is righteous.
Yeah, righteous behavior, blameless walks. Yeah. Does anybody remember the distinction we made between our tongue, our mouth, and our lips when we went through these ideas early on in Proverbs? Because, you know, King Solomon talks an awful lot about our mouth, our tongue, and our lips. He talks about what's on our mind, what's on our heart, all of those pieces. Does anybody recall kind of an easy way to describe what's the difference between our mouth, our tongue, and our lips? Or is it just the same thing for the same thing? Different words for the same thing? I'm not trying to make it a trick question. It can be a church answer. Okay. The way I think about it, sometimes he makes a determination about our mouth, you know, the things that are kind of a large setting. You might think of our mouth being very large and it takes in and takes out all kinds of things. But what comes off of our tongue and through our lips are intentional things that happen. We have to form our lips around words, and we have to use our tongue to create words. And then it all comes out of our mouth. But once we start making these words, they're very intentional on what we say. So I think it's interesting that he focuses in on what's coming off of our lips, intentionally saying specific words in a certain way. And when you start thinking about that, and when you start talking to someone this evening, think about your lips. What are they doing every single time you say a word? They are intentionally wrapping around the word that you are forming to actually go out. We do it subconsciously, not really intentionally anymore, but because it's part of our language. But
I would think that more into James 3, the tongue.
Yeah, the tongue. Very good, James 3. And the way our tongue is certainly something that we need to watch.
I think this verse is more or less trying to like draw a comparison between like poor versus rich, but more so to say that, like, you know, especially by the time we were written, you know, poor people were the lowest people of society, but And in the sense of what's coming out of your mouth, that makes you lower stature to what everyone else would refer to as the lowest people in society.
Yeah.
That it's a whole lot worse to be foolish and to, you know, spew nonsense than to have nothing, to have no physical, to have nothing physical to your name, just yourself.
Yeah, good. That's very good. So what categories could we assign this particular verse to in that regard?
Poor and the needy.
Poor and the needy.
Lips.
I think Scott had one where, you know, we're talking about being righteous. The poor walking blamelessly is better than people who just talk foolishly. When you think of someone who is poor, what kind of attributes would you assign to them often?
Sick.
They could be sick. Oh. They are also very humble. They are also in a little bit of self-control in maintaining what they can and cannot do. I think of that when I read this. Those are the categories that I assign this to: self-control, humility, your lips, righteous, and being the fact that our ability to walk with God is a gift. It's a gift from God to walk blamelessly and walk in righteousness.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, you haven't been here for a while. Verse 2.
I don't know how to read.
Pass it on.
Desire.
Go ahead.
Contentment.
Contentment? That would be very good. Yeah.
Thank you. Desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way?
Very good. What are hasty feet?
Lack of patience.
In
a hurry.
In a hurry.
Ambitious.
Ambitious. Almost a little bit too much. What does the word zeal mean?
It's not good without knowledge.
Right.
Zealous.
Oh. What did you read there, Scooby?
This is the NLT. It said, enthusiasm without knowledge is just no good. Hesitate makes mistakes.
I think we look through this verse through like the lens of like our nature, like it's our nature to sin, to do wrong. It takes a little more work, a little more prayer, a little more guidance to get past that, beyond just our go-to, our zeal to just sin. It requires a slower approach to do what's right, more meditation.
Mm-hmm. More intentionality.
Enthusiastic.
There you go. Enthusiasm. Yeah. Enthusiastic. To be zealous, or the zeal to be enthusiastic. So what categories would you assign verse 2?
Path.
Patience.
Path. Oh, I found it.
Where's patience? I was looking for that earlier.
It's on the right hand side. What about instruction or counsel?
What about?
And pride.
Yes.
Pride being the idea that I know it all and I can do it all and I'm just going to move on ahead and not worry about the knowledge that comes with. You know, kind of like, I don't know, not reading the instructions when building the shelf. And
that
having
never
to...
Happened.
I read the instructions.
It's hard to understand.
It's just my problem that the pictures aren't right. <'Cause> the words get in the way of the pictures.
Yeah. He opened something the other day and he pulled out the paper, the instructions, and it was in a different language. He goes, I understand this. He had to turn it over.
What about influence?
Yeah, it could be influence.
And then what about obedience?
Obedience. For knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And then what about wise?
Yes. All right, how about verse 3?
Yeah. All right. A person's own folly leads to their ruins. Yet their heart rages against the Lord.
Hmm. What's this talking about?
Fools.
Yeah.
The result of their action is... It says in mine, twists his way. Not exactly a straight path.
Yeah.
Not exactly easy, you know, it's...
Creates... difficulties and problems.
Yeah, consequences of their own actions.
Mm-hmm. Mine says, yet his heart rages against the Lord.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
He's not doing it God's way. He's doing it his.
Yeah.
Pride.
Good.
So basically a person's own chaos leads to their ruins.
Yeah.
If we walk away from the light, then yell at the light for it being dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good example. Turn off all the lights. Oh, it's dark in here. Turn them back on. Oh, hey.
My commentary says the fretting causes us to where we're enemies to our own peace and become self-tormentors.
Self-tormentors.
That kind of could apply even to the first part of the verse, where you know we have that foolishness. We're tormenting ourselves. We're making it a whole lot harder. You know, number one,
on
just the path that we're taking,
no.
The choices that we're making, and then you know we're also you know fighting against that peace that. Is already there. We just have to acknowledge it.
Yeah. Good.
In the King James, it says, "The foolishness of man perverted his way," and perversion, according to the dictionary, is contrary to accepted or expected standard of practice. So, like they're illogical and irrational.
Good.
So then they're angry with God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's irrational and. Take out their anger against God because, well, he did this, right? Of course he did. Couldn't be me. Right. It would be an illusion. Yeah, so some of these categories that we've mentioned, pride, illusion.
Wicked.
Fool.
Fools. Would you include in there disrespect?
Yes.
All right, verse 4.
Wealth attracts many friends, but a poor person is separated from his friends.
Hmm. So what kind of behavior is this describing? Maybe not a behavior, but what kind of actions are being described here?
Basically, if you know somebody's got a lot of money, hang out with them, get what you want, mm-hmm. what you can get. You know, and the person that doesn't have any money, you hang out with them because you like them.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much.
You took my handsome doll. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah.
The judgment of the man and what he considers his friend.
Right, because as soon as most people lose wealth, a lot of times their friends are sayonara, you know. They aren't going to be hanging around you if you don't have your money. And
when they say you got the best friends money can buy.
Yeah.
It's like money can't buy happiness.
So what categories would you describe, assign this to then?
Money.
Money?
Friends.
Friends.
How about coveting?
Coveting.
That's good.
Oh, I found it.
So a lot of them are the same section. Selfishness, greed.
Yeah, all of those.
Counsel.
How so?
Well, because it's telling us that money can, like, wealth is bringing many friends, but a poor man is distracted by his friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, well, this is telling, like, you're buying, like, false friends, you're buying, like, false people.
Yeah.
But a true friend doesn't care how much money you have.
Right.
He just cares about you being there for them and what your heart is. That's why I think it's probably counsel.
So being able to, so in counsel, maybe looking at it as choose your friends wisely.
Pretty much.
Make sure that they are true friends that are akin in the heart. You know, you think alike, you do things alike.
Think like the heart.
Very good.
What about wicked?
Wicked, yeah, definitely.
I have discernment for scooters.
Yeah, good. Discernment. Being able to discern good friends from, you know, real friends from those who are just playing. Good. Others? Verse 5.
A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who utters lies will not escape.
Okay.
So what does it mean to be a false witness?
A liar.
A liar. Good. So a liar will not go unpunished. And he who pours out lies will not go free.
I think this kind of echoes Ken in Sunday school talking about all the false prophets, all the false teachers in the New Testament, how severe of a crime that is, and that you will very much be punished for you, that it's it's a one-way road of doing the false teachings.
Yeah. Imagine all of the opportunities that you have heard throughout your life, regardless of how old you are. You've heard teachers, whether they are pastors or teachers at school or whatever, when they are teaching false things, what happens to the people that are listening to them?
Their moms get mad at the person.
The what?
Their moms get mad at right. the person that's not teaching them.
Yeah, the moms get mad because they're teaching the wrong thing, but Scott's word is right. It is those people are misled.
Or you're damning their salvation.
Yeah, or you're damning their salvation. You're actually putting a stumbling block in front of them, preventing them from seeing Christ and being saved. I mean, when we think about what all of Proverbs is really talking about, almost all through here, until we get to chapter 20, I think it's chapter 20, verse 1, he actually talks about an alcoholic beverage. In chapter 20, verse 1, we have been through chapter 10 through 19, and almost every single time we've talked about anything, it's about our tongue, our actions, our behaviors, and this verse really kind of summarizes a lot of what King Solomon wants us to understand, and that is, if you're speaking lies and calling them truthful things, you are just creating problems for other people and creating stumbling blocks for other people and preventing them from seeing God. That's why it's so important for us to live our life
or character assassination.
Yeah, or character assassinations. It's important.
Literally
destroy
someone. Yeah. To me, lies are like if I lie about myself and about, how much money I got or how fast my car will go, things like that, to me is a lie. To me, a false witness is when I talk to her and I tell a lie about you.
Yeah.
To me, that's a false witness when you're actually lying about somebody else to somebody else.
Good.
But lies, to me, is just, I'm broke. And, that's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. So, where would we put these in these categories?
Lying.
Wicked.
Yeah. Lying.
And fools.
Evil. Yeah. Evil. Death. Fools. The lips. The tongue.
You could even put it under, I know this is one of our write-in ones, but you could even put it under selfish.
Yes.
That, you're not really caring for others.
Excuse me.
You're just concerned about your own reputation.
Illusion, greed, and pride.
Yeah, there you go.
Creating the illusion.
Yeah.
What about wise God and sovereign God?
And why would you say wise God and sovereign God? Why would you say that?
They will not go
unpunished,
and they will not escape.
Yeah, good. Wise God and sovereign. It also calls on us to be people of discernment. There's that word again, right? Discernment. My favorite word of never.
Never.
But it is important, right? It's interesting. We have learned a lot of things going through the book of Proverbs. We're not supposed to call someone fools. We're not supposed to call people idiots. We're not supposed to call them names. We're not supposed to be mean. We're not supposed to say all these bad things about people. But it is okay for us to talk about foolish behavior, right? That's different. Identifying foolish behavior and we're not engaging in the idea of character assassinations or false witnesses about someone because only God is allowed to call them a fool, right? We can point out foolish behavior. So many of the drivers that are now in front of me that are not driving properly, they're no longer idiots or fools or...
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah. They're just people that drive differently than me that I consider a little more foolishly than I prefer.
Just kidding.
Right? But
have you gotten to the level of praying for him yet?
Oh man, that is a whole new level right there. I don't know if I can do that.
That's what I challenged myself. After we had that conversation, I seriously was like, okay, but what if I get frustrated? What am I supposed to do? Because, you know,
pray for
him. You want to call him, and so that's what I do. I'm like, you know what, Lord, they maybe have
my prayer list just grew like 50 people on 70 every day. I don't know if I can do that.
So, Case, and for the people that
they're
driving,
right? So, Case,
passive aggressive prayer there is.
I'll just pray for the license plate in front of me, and we'll move on.
So, case in point, Tim and I were driving. Oh, over to the Napa Distribution Center the other day to get car parts. Surprise! And we came. We were in Big Red, our truck, and we came behind this smaller, you know, four door sedan. And Tim wasn't crazy close. You could still see his wheels on the bottom of the pavement.
I was three car lengths behind him. Like,
and nothing. Did not appear that anything was going on. So we come up to a stoplight, and he switches lanes and gets over. The little car is, like, right next to us. The guy is flipping us off, screaming at us. And I'm like, did we do something wrong? And Tim was like, he felt we were too close. I'm like, we could still see his car tires on the pavement. I'm like,
we're dark out?
Yeah.
It was dusk, but it wasn't crazy dark, you know. So the funny thing is, you know how you don't want to be near the person again, but you wind up just with the pattern of traffic? So, you know, we'd swap in the other lane, and he'd be over here, and then he'd be over there, and whatever. So, you know, we were kind of near each other for a while, and finally I was just like, you know what? I just hope God pours all kinds of blessings all over you in all of this day, and he just ends your day with so many blessings, you know. And Tim was like, really? I'm like,
yeah,
evidently that person just needs all kinds of blessings. And so I was like, yeah. So
I was getting a little anxious because they were also going down High School Road by the airport. Awesome. I kind of thought I'd turned and got away from him, but evidently we were still going in the same direction. I'm like, this is going to be kind of...
Were they younger or older?
They were younger.
Yeah, younger.
Yeah, a lot younger.
Like my age?
No.
Yeah.
Little. No, you're old.
Yeah, you're old.
Thanks, guys.
I got a sidetrack, but that was like the perfect description. The perfect
there you go.
Scenario.
All right, so we're on verse number six.
Many seek the friendship of important people, and everyone is friendly to those who give gifts.
Mm. So kind of like verse 4. Mm-hmm. Very similar to that.
Pretty much.
I think in the King James it points out that many curry favor from the prince or the ruler, the one in charge. When I first read it, many curry favor with the ruler, and I was actually thinking of a literal yardstick ruler, right? I don't know why, but and everyone is friends with the man who gives gifts, and so it was more measuring the stature of, you know, my gift versus your gift, the importance of what I have versus you. Yeah, it was a little twisted inside my head. It wasn't all that great, so.
Christmas, huh?
I really was glad to read in the King James where it said, the prince. I'm like, oh, the guy in charge. What does it mean to curry favor?
Influence.
Their influence. Influence. Very good.
Without being overly political, I think we got a good example of that. It's like you watching now, you can say it. The inauguration, and you have CEO, been there with Trump, you know, like it's, you know, you're not trying to be a little political, but, you know, there's a reason they're there.
Yeah.
It's so gross, but the old school name is being Brown
Noser. Yeah, Brown Noser.
Who?
Brown Noser.
Brown Noser.
Yeah. Who's that?
Oh, I'll explain it later.
I know my note says bribery. I mean,
yeah.
We shouldn't have to bribe somebody to be our friend. And then we also shouldn't take a bribe to be a friend.
Correct.
I think I said that right.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. It's kind of like if someone's like, oh, if you help me, I'll be your friend forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, scratch my back and scratch your back.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But they don't really scratch your back, though.
So
but
where...
you wouldn't want to make enemies with the person that's in charge of you, right?
Right.
Say you were in a classroom, and the teacher was the one that's the ruler. You wouldn't want to make enemies with her, right?
Right.
So you'd have to have some kind of favor with that person.
Right, right. So
you know, you wouldn't want to just be enemies with that person.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is talking about taking it too far, being more than just being friendly.
Yeah.
More than just an apple for the teacher, because they're a cool person.
Yeah, but the apple for the teacher is the same thing, though, right?
I wouldn't feel like me better than anybody else in the class.
I think it goes with the intent, though.
Truly is my heart, what is my motive, why am I doing this?
Yes.
My motive is pure.
Yeah. It's to the motive of the heart.
So actually, I'm lying.
Mm-hmm. So what categories would we assign verse 6?
Influence.
Influence, definitely.
Illusion.
Good.
Yes.
Would it be greed?
Could be. If you have the wrong heart condition.
Yeah. Selfishness. Yes. It's one of those that we added last week. Selfish. Good.
But also, you could put this one as friends, just because it tells you the kind of friend to find or be or not be.
Good.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
I also have to say disrespect, because in the reality of the truth of all that, by me being false and being a liar, I'm disrespecting that person.
Yes. Good. Yes. And it behooves us to, again, discern their behavior, right? Is this someone, so put this in the light of King Solomon talking to the princes and the future leaders of Israel. The idea is, hey, everybody wants to be your friend. And if you're giving things away, they really want to be your friend. You're going to have to discern whether they're truly your friend, or are they just currying favor and just looking for a handout? You know, are they truly looking to you for leadership and to follow, or are they just looking for something else?
Yes.
Good. So, verse 7.
All the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him.
Hmm. Ooh.
Words are the only thing a poor person can give.
Yeah.
Being poor, I mean, as it says here, is often to be rejected. Be rejected. People don't want to be around you. They're like, nope, sorry, I'm out of here. Kind of
think of Job when you hear that. Remember when Job had all this land and all this like all the sheep, all the flock, all the stuff, where Satan told God, it's like, well, test him and see what happens. But Job is still faithful to God, But other people will tell him to curse God, tell him to do this. And then when it comes to his friends, they were just sitting there for a little bit and say nothing until one of them says something, and then that's when it kind of makes me think of this. It makes me think of Job. Mm-hmm.
So in one of the commentaries that I read, I don't know what specifically was going on in this particular psalm, and I apologize for not doing that particular research to actually give us more detail here. But in Psalms 38 and verse 11, David is writing. In verse 10, he says, "My heart pounds, my strength fails me, even the light has gone from my eyes." In other words, he's hurting, right? Verse 11, it says, "My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds, and my neighbors stay far away." The idea here, he was in his lowest point, right? Hurt, in his lowest point, and everyone has abandoned him. The idea of being friendless or alone, often... I think what this verse is pointing out, and it's interesting because in this particular chapter, verse 7, and I think it's verse 22. I don't want to say the next verse. I think it may be 21. But anyway... Verse 7, no one really had a good explanation for this particular verse other than it's lonely, you're friendless, and sometimes when we are in our most desperate, most everyone leaves and we are alone.
Which goes back to what he was saying about Job. Even his friends were I think we're done. Kind of.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to Jesus, obviously.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yet he often sought out the poor and the needy. In contrast to, you know, we kind of bow out and he's right in there.
Mm-hmm. Are there other thoughts? Everybody's got a little bit of a look on their face. They want to say something, but they're not sure if it's going to be right.
I'm looking at the selfishness and the pride of the friends.
Yeah. Yeah, their unwillingness to come alongside.
The brothers are probably thinking, you know, what has he done to, it's, you know, dishonoring to the family. Makes us look bad. You're so low. So what have you done?
Hmm? So they're, you know, way past the condemnation against the brother.
Right.
And those should be the first people to come and lift them up.
Does that fit back with what was the verse?
Verse 4?
No, it was in a different chapter.
I almost feel like they're talking about attitude. Like a person with a poor or bad attitude, nobody wants to be around them. Everybody avoids them.
Yeah.
It could be definitely interpreted as attitude.
I don't
it?
Think it's talking about money, though.
Lucia also speaks to those who are not in that situation to be able to recognize it and know that they are in need of a friend. And they might be poor because, you know, life's, you know, hard and life's got a nail. And, you know, maybe they're just complainers and their friends don't like to hear it, but they still have a friend.
Yeah, I mean, you heard the old statement, misery loves company. So they're constantly looking for somebody else that can have the same attitude. So they're constantly looking.
So you're saying,
but they can't
find. Or in spirit.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It's, this whole book is about discernment.
That's your favorite word, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know when he had time to be so smart as he was.
I know. So where would we put verse 7 in all of these categories that we have? We have the poor and needy. We've got friends. Where else could we put this?
Lying, disrespectful, and illusion.
Good.
Selfish.
Selfish. So let's, is everyone ready to move on? Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 8. Go ahead.
The one who gives wisdom loves life, and the one who cherishes understanding will soon prosper.
Okay. A totally different piece of popcorn we just pulled out of the board, out of the bowl.
My first part of the verse says, not love loves life. Says loves himself, which seems completely different to me.
So in the NIV, it makes the statement that it says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. So what we have here is we love life, we love himself, and we love his own soul. Talking about the one who has wisdom recognizes himself or herself exactly as God sees them. I am wise. I love. If I am wise, I love the person that God has made me. I'm not.
It's a self-esteem thing, what you're saying.
Somewhat, yes. Yeah. It's understanding where I am, who I am in front of God. I know that I am a sinner, but I also know that I am saved by grace. Right? It is definitely a gift from God. And when we go back to, at the top of the page, and we go back to that equation that says wisdom is the fear of the Lord plus knowledge and understanding, and right underneath that, we have these replacement words for wisdom. Wisdom, the replacement for that would be a relationship with Jesus. Well, obviously, that's wise, right? A relationship with Jesus is the fear, accepting the gift of God, embracing truth, and live obediently. So understanding is living obediently. Knowledge is embracing that truth. Knowledge is truth. Understanding is obedience. The fear of the Lord is accepting that God is God, who he is, and the gift that he gives to us, his son. So in this, we're talking about truth and obedience. We can take that word knowledge and obedience and understanding and say that the one who gets wisdom loves his own soul. The one who has a relationship with Christ, he loves his own life. He understands where he is, who he is in Christ, and he who cherishes truth and obedience prospers.
So it's more or less loving your physical self, but loving how God has worked in you and changed you to become who you are meant to be.
Yeah.
Your renewed, loving your renewed self.
Yeah. It's not this self-love thing, but it is certainly an acknowledgement of who God has made me today. I am who I am. I am not the same person I was 30 years ago. Probably that's a good thing. Well, we all know that is, but you know, who I was 30 years ago is different than the person I am today. And that's okay, as long as I'm growing, right? So what categories would we assign verse 8?
Truth.
Truth?
Wise.
Good life.
Good life. Gift from God.
Yeah.
Love.
Grace.
Faithfulness.
Whoa.
And instruction.
Oh.
So we have obedience and grace. So everything that's been said so far is wise, good life, a gift from God, faithfulness, instruction, obedience, mercy, or excuse me, grace.
That's about to depend on me.
Truth.
Yeah, I got that.
Joy, love. Would we also include salvation? Accepting the grace and the truth and the obedience of Christ. Yeah. All right. Our last verse we'll do tonight is verse 9.
A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish.
Hmm. Man. Whoa. That's just like verse 5 almost, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Close.
More harsh, says
shall
perish. The other one just says
upon
escape.
Yeah. I think he was just trying to change up words, right?
Emphasize the importance.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to lie about others.
I think again, it's just, you know, like we discussed, like leading yourself astray is one thing, but leading others down with you, it is like ultimate evil. Like you will burn in hell. Like it's no question about it. It's a horrible thing to do, and it needs to be mentioned twice,
yeah,
three times, as many times as it can, just so that, you know, even for us in our life, even though we're not out there, you know, actively, you know, trying to pull people from God, but just making sure that our actions aren't going to lead people astray. He says he's Christian, but he's doing this stuff, everything. Just make sure you're not passively being a false witness.
Right.
This is just all like you were saying, like that. Saying like you're a Christian around certain people because you know they are Christians, but when you go to your work or your other environment, you're like, you're acting in a different way just to please other people at work.
Mm-hmm. To fit in.
If you're, let's say, like if you're a Christian, you should act like a Christian when you know where you're at, and it doesn't matter where you're at.
You should, but yeah, it makes it kind of difficult sometimes.
It does.
It's kind of like driving. You know, it makes it tough sometimes.
Pretty much anything you do makes it difficult.
Yeah.
We had a car the other day. It was going down 67. She was just flying through traffic. And we were going north on 67. And then when we were going south, she passed us again. She was just flying.
Oh, wow.
Man.
So verse 9? Yeah, verse 9. Where would you like to put the in these categories? Evil, death,
lying,
tongue. Yeah, there you go.
And then,
wherever there's 5, they put a 9.
Yeah. I like to put it on influence.
Yeah, that.
Because you're influencing people no matter if you're lying or no matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And if you're creating an illusion.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's certainly So, as we wrap up this evening, of all the things that we filled out and everything that's on your sheet and everything that where we are, what are we kind of taking away from chapter 19 so far?
19.
And, you know, maybe something that we can take away this week. What was our big hitter items this week?
Illusion.
Quit lying about people.
Yeah, lying about people.
Watch your tongue.
Watch your tongue.
Or just as well.
Yeah.
Influence. And yeah. Pride. And got disrespect too.
I would be a true friend.
Yeah, true friends. Our example in life is important. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to sit around the table and to talk about your word and reach into the bowl of popcorn and take out things that and talk about things that, Lord, in our life can be hard. Sometimes we do find ourselves talking about others and we shouldn't. Sometimes we all have difficulties. Forgive us. Forgive me when I fail. Forgive us. Give us a vision this evening to work on something this week that we can change, whether it's how we look at ourselves through your eyes. Yes, we are sinners, but we are saved by grace, and we are given an opportunity to show others the light of you and give them the light of the world. Help us to live up to that, Lord. Help us to not hide our light under the bushel, as the song goes, but that we would share it and show it and live it. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this week. Keep us safe in Jesus' name. Amen.
See my picture? It's his mom.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty good for 91, don't you?
It's really good for 91.
Right here.
I got Amy to go to the Yeager Club with me.
The what?
Amy.
Amy?
She's going Saturday.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They're giving prizes away, you know, for the person that got the most Euchers.
Oh, yeah?
You know, the person that got the less amount of money and the oldest person there. And there's Steve in the background. That's the only way you're going to win. Yeah, so. I started laughing. She says, oh, hush, you're just jealous because you can't go.
I'm really glad she's going with you. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be good for her to get out of the house.
Yeah, I think so, too.
They've had a pretty trying couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's the last Saturday in January.
Okay.